We had a winner last hour. Let's hope we get another one in about 17 minutes in our Live for Free contest. Until then, let's just talk about stuff. What
do
we got?
Let's do it. All right,
Grammy stuff, Hollywood stuff. We got the study of Doug coming up.
Okay, Lori, I've got something for you, Lori, that I don't think you know about, okay?
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, so here's the headline. Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols got a flea bite on his sex pistol.
Is this the squirrel story?
Yes. So he apparently has befriended Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols, has befriended right. squirrels. He lives in LA and he feeds them. He lets them inside his home. He even allows them to nudge up to him if they want to.
Well, it serves him right for getting fleas on his Sex Pistols
yes.
for crying out loud. They're nothing but rats with the backyard privileges.
Okay. Squirrels?
Yes.
Okay. No, they're the worst things once they get into your home because they go crazy.
Trying to get out?
He said, yeah, he looked down at his leg this morning and at his willy, and there's a bleeping flea bite on it. There's another one inside my leg. They're very itchy. And that this is his quote. It's such a poxy thing to get caught out on. The only way around it, because I'm not going to blame the poor little squirrels, is to Vaseline my legs. I just hope they don't get the wrong idea. Oh, is he like cuckoo?
He's goofy.
Oh, for sure.
He's goofy.
He's
really goofy. Yeah. Goofy for years.
Goofy for Cocoa Pops. Okay.
Yeah.
Just, I didn't know how goofy he was.
Yes.
Okay. So if people are out at the Mall of America on Friday, brace yourself, Prince Franz, and I'm talking to you, Rocco,
okay.
and I'm talking to you, Lori. You know, we know that there's a Prince store at MSP Airport, and we haven't been there in a little while, but there's a pop-up shop that's going to open on the first level near the TCF Rotunda,
okay.
and it's 1,600 feet of pure Prince loveliness, and actually, our friend Karen... The lovely Karen from Spillane in Woodbury just sent us a picture of herself in her cute new Prince mask. So if you have Prince lovers in your family that you're looking to buy something for,
yes,
it's their really cute masks. You can get them at the new pop-up store at MOA.
Very, very good. Hey, here is something for you. This movie, I think, debuts tomorrow on Netflix. It's the Kristen Stewart, they're calling it the lesbian rom-com.
Yes.
It's called The Happiest Season.
Okay.
And she plays Abby, an art history PhD student, who goes home with her girlfriend for the holidays. And her girlfriend is Mackenzie Davis from Halt and Catch Fire.
Yes.
And she's invited her to her house for Christmas. Her mom is played by Mary Steenburgen. But then she tells Abby, played by Kristen Stewart, well, my parents don't know. I'm not out yet. And comedy ensues. Dan Levy from Poops Creek is Abby's BFF. And I guess it is... just a sweet Christmas movie, and she's been giving interviews everywhere, very excited about having a lesbian rom-com Christmas movie.
I love it. And that's going to be yeah. on Netflix?
Yes.
Say the name of it one more time.
It's called The Happiest Season.
Okay, because I've got something else, a quote from her today, and I wanted you guys to weigh in on this, actually, because she... was interviewed about this role in The Happiest Season. And the headline is she's proud to be part of the LGBT community, but she's not sure it's a bad idea for straight people to play LGBTQ roles. And she says, quote, I never want to tell a story that really should be told by someone who's lived that experience. But having said that, it's a slippery slope conversation because that means I can't ever play another straight character.
Yeah, and maybe that's because Mackenzie Davis, who's playing her girlfriend Harper,
yeah,
I think is a straight woman, although I don't even really know, but it's probably within the context of that because she's been doing print interviews
right.
and Entertainment Weekly and or Tonight and Extra. She's really been on a lot of things. She's just very excited, and people seem to be liking the movie versus the movie that is just being called the worst movie of the year. I felt so bad. Amy Adams was on with Jimmy Kimmel last night, and she's in the Ron Howard directed movie Hillbilly Elegy.
Oh, that looks so bad.
And it's based on bad. Yeah, J.D. Vance, his memoir. The Atlantic called it the worst movie of the year. CNN said it is the dreariest movie of the year. The Daily Beast called it a raging dumpster fire of a movie.
Wow.
And Time said it's condescending and a lazy caricature. And it's Amy Adams, Glenn Close, Ron Howard directs. It's 27% on Rotten Tomatoes. So
I saw Glenn Close get interviewed, and I'm like, what are they talking about? And okay, well, that's good news. It's saving everyone time, Lori.
They didn't really talk. I noticed Amy Adams had a delightful conversation with Jimmy Kimmel, and they spent like 30 seconds talking about the movie.
Because everyone knows it's bad.
I think so.
She probably said, I'm here because I have to mention it, but I don't want this to be why I'm here.
I just love her, though. She's so good. And usually Ron Howard does great directing movies.
Right.
This is a rare bomb for him.
Well.
Anyway.
Crap happens. I know it. Yeah. I don't like the name.
I know it. Well, that was the name of the best-selling book that came out. I never read it because I just thought, ugh.
I don't want to read depressing. It does sound depressing.
Yeah. Well, it makes for a depressing movie. And then Lily James booked her next movie. She's going to play. The movie is right now tentatively called Peggy Jo.
Okay.
And she plays this real life woman, Peggy Jo, who had quite a run of robbing Texas banks in the early 90s while posing as a man.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's happening for Lily. She's got that coming on. And the thing that the most dividing thing about the HBO drama, The Undoing, and the finale is this Sunday night with Hugh Grant, Nicole Kidman, and Donald Sutherland.
Don't give it away.
No, but the biggest divide have been Nicole Kidman's coats.
Oh, okay.
All of the coats, particularly the green chenille shag coat that looked like a bathrobe, a fancy bathrobe.
Okay, well, it's something I'm, you know, she had an interesting interview in some, I don't know where it was, but it kind of coincided with Chanum's. He wrote something on Instagram, and of course it's in front of me in one of the 19,000 pieces of paper I have today.
Right.
But he was talking, here's what Chanum said. He said, there's nothing, because he shaved his head yesterday, as good as finishing the hardest job of my life and then shaving my head and letting the character go. It's a bit of a ritual for him. It's a freeing him of himself. And I'm about to feel so free. I have so much love in my heart for everyone that was part of this movie. It was Dog the Film. And you know, Nicole Kidman talked about, because she plays intense roles.
Yes, she does.
And she said the loneliness that happens when she's in those characters and in those roles is so, like, heart-wrenching and gutting, and that she's so grateful for, of course, her lovely husband, Keith Urban, and her two daughters. And, of course, they do mention the other kids, but we don't know what happens with them.
right.
You know, the Tom Cruise kids. But it was just kind of an interesting thing when people get so all into the character and how it is so heavy when they go so method.
Well, and this is a heavy role, this character Grace she's playing. And then even her character that she played in Big Little Lies was
hardcore.
Just unbelievable.
Right. Hardcore. Now, Rocco, when you were acting and you would go all method, did you find it hard to get out of character when you went home for dinner? Or did you bug your parents and stay in character and do anything sassy?
Like when I was a cow in the War of the Worlds?
Right. I mean, was that hard for you not to have your udders, you know, milked? Was it it hard not to have your teeth pulled?
I do kind of miss acting. That was fun to get back into it.
You're good at it.
Well, I did it back in my day.
You could see the smile on your face.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess, and this job I do involves a little bit of acting when I get, you know, hey, listen for the chance to win at 520. I mean, I get up for that stuff. But you're right. I kind of miss, I don't know. But I don't think I was that method. I could just go home.
You could go home and relax and
from Woodbury High School Theater. And
I can too, Julia, by the way. Thanks for asking.
Because, Lori, because we're method in here. We act every day like ourselves. Gets exhausting sometimes. I'm telling you what. You know, we're getting close to the time to give away money. But in the meantime, you know, the lady who played the Queen's Gambit, the actress's name is Anna Taylor-Joy.
Anya.
Thank you. Anya. Whatever. Mm-hmm. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I hope I can find the second page of the first page. Okay. She says that she thinks she's too weird looking to be in movies and doesn't consider herself pretty. And, you know, that was the most watched program ever on Netflix. And she said a quote that she doesn't find herself attracted. I have never, and I don't think I will ever think of myself as beautiful. I don't think I'm beautiful enough to be in films. It sounds pathetic. But I'm just think I'm weird looking.
She's only 24, and that the way her hair was cut and everything, and she's got enormous eyes. She'll be fine. She'll grow into her beauty because she was certainly dazzling in every way in that role. And Jess has exploded.
Oh, I know. There's like lists of you know, all the chess movies, the top 10 chess movies you should watch if you like The Queen's Gambit and this and that. I mean, it really has. But here's
Casey has started playing chess online against opponents.
He's moved up
to 10-year-olds.
Oh, fantastic. My kids took chess. I remember after school program. We always played chess growing up.
Yeah.
Do you know how the people move, Lori?
Yeah, no, I played chess, but I really was a fiend for Chinese checkers. Oh, remember that?
The colors and the marbles. Oh, yeah, right. That was a great game. And then you could throw all the marbles at your sister, which is what I would always do. Okay, we've got to go. It's time for the Dirt Alert, and then stay tuned. We're going to hopefully announce your name so you can live for free. We'll be right back.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
All right, Holly, what kind of dirt do you have for us?
All right, well, we have some dirt regarding the Hills reboot. Yes, I know. Well, Rod Stewart's son, Sean Stewart, is going to appear on the second season of the Hills reboot because he's dating Audrina Patridge.
Lori, are you excited? Because Lori watched the Hills.
I like that new Hills reboot. I found it quite entertaining.
Was it, did the conflict seem authentic enough to enjoy, or did it seem scripted?
Well, you know, I watched it because Mishka Barton was so awkward every time she was on camera. It was like she had a hard time doing scripted reality.
Yeah. Like she wanted something to go off of, but nobody was there to feed her lines because she was supposed to improvise.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a thing. So you have that to look forward to. Also, we have this to look forward to. Somebody winning some money, maybe.
Let's do it.
I hate this year.
You're exactly right, Holly Roberts. It's time to announce a live for free name. This is our way of rewarding you for getting through 2020. We want you to live for free for the rest of the year. Jess Fab, F-A-B-B of Brooklyn Park, might be living for free if she calls in the next 10 minutes. She'll get $100 and we're going to have a big drawing next week. And if she wins, 10 grand for Jess Fab of Brooklyn Park. What you got to do is call us 651-641-1071. 651-641-1071, Jess Fab of Brooklyn Park.
What a great name,
isn't
Jess.
It?
We've had a couple good names today.
We had Mary Bush.
And Jess Fab.
F-A-B-B. I know it. We were going over the names earlier, and I'm like, I love that name. Fab. Fabuloso. All right, back to you, fabulous Halle.
It's Fab and Gear. All right, let's go to the world of TV. One Day at a Time has been canceled over at Pop. The reboot of the 1975 Norman Lear classic of the same name originally was on Netflix. Then it got canceled in early 2019. Pop rescued the show a few months later and began airing season 4 earlier this year. Now, it seems that the people behind One Day at a Time still do not think that their time is up. They're going to be shopping it around someplace. Did you guys watch this?
No. Because
a lot of people really liked it.
Lori?
No.
All right. Well, if you
weren't a part of it.
You weren't a part of it. Well, you know
what? Watched it the first time in real life. We're that old.
You watched the real One Day at a Time. Now, this isn't totally surprising because Variety reported earlier this year that Pop was basically shutting down its scripted series plans, and One Day at a Time was part of that, and Poop's Creek, that ending was also kind of ending Pop TV's foray into the scripted TV world. So
what do they have left
Pop
then?
TV, but was that the old TV Guide?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're going to be doing now. I suppose a lot of unscripted stuff, I would think maybe they're going akin to E! News, maybe some more pop culture commentary focused.
Oh, for crying out loud. We've got enough of that. We've got the Lori and Julia show. We have My Talk. Why don't people just tune into this?
Thank you.
Jeez.
Exactly. Uh-huh. You don't need to watch TV. You can have us in your ears and you can have us on the app in your butt pocket. Now, I heard you guys talking in the last segment about the movie Hillbilly Elegy and that it's one of the worst reviewed movies of the year.
Right.
Now, I want to direct you to another film that could be quite possibly be the worst film of 2020, and it stars Jamie Dornan and Emily Blunt.
Oh, no.
I know.
Oh, no. What's it called?
Well, so we're going to have a little homework, but I did want to bring attention to the movie Wild Mountain Time. It's an Irish romance, and apparently the Irish accents are atrocious. People are hating this movie just based off of the trailer. It also features Christopher Walken. He plays Jamie Dornan's dad. John Hamm plays his plays his American cousin.
Christopher Walken and John Tenney's in it, Lori. Our John Tenney.
Ah.
We had so much fun with John Tenney several times at the SAG Awards.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, so they're saying it's just the worst.
Yeah, people are saying that this is the worst. How does Jamie Dornan, the only Irish person in the trailer, manage to have the worst Irish accent of them all?
Oh, no.
Somebody else said every accent in this, including Jamie Dornan's, is a bleeping hate crime. Somebody said, is this parody? Even Jamie Dornan's Irish accent is awful. And can someone please tell Jamie Dornan he already has an Irish accent? Oh. Apparently there are leprechauns mentioned in this, so people are just like, could you be any more stereotypical?
Okay, but here's the deal. If you don't care if someone has a bad Irish accent, it's about a pair of star-crossed lovers in Ireland getting caught in their family's land dispute.
Julie's sold. She wants the love.
She's sold.
I'm sorry. It's a love story. They're calling it a romantic, drama romance. I'm sorry.
Well, then you're going to have to do the homework for us, Julia.
All right, I will.
You promise on this moment, November 24th, you're going to watch Wild Mountain Time.
Okay, it comes out I just have to make sure I'm available, on December 11th. Okay.
How's your calendar look?
I'm full that day. Oh. I got to see what's happening.
Okay, well, you see what's happening. This is brought to you.
That's a Friday night.
Well, yeah, that's when...
Where I'll have nothing to do. Okay.
Okay, well, you said it here.
Okay.
Well, this is also brought to you by the person who wrote Moonstruck. So...
We loved that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it had the trending topic in Ireland because of this trailer. Because people were just could not handle this trailer. So go forth and watch Wild Mountain Time if you choose so. Maybe wait for the Julia review.
And I'm so good. I'm the best critic for these type of things.
Oh, yeah. You're like the Jean Shalit of My Talk.
I know. Finally, I'm getting some credibility for it. We're waiting for Fab to call.
Oh, my goodness.
Just Fab.
Fab, yes, Jess Fab, 651-641-1071. It could be you winning $100, but you got to call Rocco and get him on the horn. Dancing with the Stars wrapped up season 29 last night. What did you guys think of Tyra Banks' outfit?
Hysterical.
Oh my gosh. She posted the blue one.
Yes, yeah. The loofah. She was wearing a loofah to celebrate the ending of the season. And if you don't want a spoiler alert, just turn down your radio for a second. It was Caitlin Bristow, the former Bachelorette. So she won, got two perfect 30 scores, which in Dancing with the Stars world apparently is quite the feat. So good on her. Yes.
It is.
Yes. This is something we mentioned at a Dirt Alert update, I believe at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, that Netflix has removed Dave Chappelle's show after Dave Chappelle asked them to remove it. So Dave Chappelle said he never got paid after leaving Chappelle's show back in the mid-2000s over on Comedy Central. And Dave Chappelle had recently pointed out, and I think he did this in his monologue on Saturday Night Live, that Netflix and HBO Max were streaming a show that bears his great-grandfather's name, yet he didn't get paid for that. So I don't know what kind of contracts were happening between Viacom and Dave Chappelle when that show was being made like 15 years ago.
Right.
But I don't think that he's seeing any money from Chappelle's show being streamed on Netflix or HBO Max.
How does that even happen?
Just contracts, Hollywood accounting, all of those kinds of things. I mean, I feel like we've heard a lot of these stories of people who are the creators of their content. Well, I mean, Taylor Swift has been the big one where she's like, well, I don't own my masters anymore. Right. I don't have control of my art. And I feel like Dave Chappelle's contract with Comedy Central might be something similar. Now, Chappelle's show was only on Netflix for about 3 weeks. I still think that it's on HBO Max. Don't quote me on that, but Hollywood's weird, man. Hollywood's weird.
It certainly is.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it.
Thanks, Holly.
Just call us.
Thanks, Holly.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to come back with Lori doing something Lori-ish.
Study of Duh, and we're looking for Jess Fab to call us.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Lori and Julia on My Talk.
This is the Study of Duh with noted academic journal skimmer, Lori.
Everybody knows. Everyone knows that, Duh. Everybody
knows. All right, Lori.
I really love my noted academic skimmer job title. That's my favorite.
I think, Rocco, you did a good job on that one. All right, what craziness do you have for us, Lorene?
Okay, well, here is a study, and they called it a staggering 50%. They couldn't believe that 50% of people agreed with the statement that they can't have a good morning without at least one cup of coffee. Now, this was a U.S. study, so I am shocked the number is only 50%.
I know people who don't drink coffee, though.
And how do they do it?
It freaks me out. I don't know.
Sometimes I wonder about my own child. I'm like, how do you get up and get going without a cup of coffee?
I know, right?
Well, I will say I didn't drink coffee until I got like a big promotion at Carlson Companies, and I think I was 30. And I felt so... First of all, I was the youngest person, and I felt so embarrassed that I didn't drink coffee. I just started drinking it and dumping all the coffee mate in it to make it as white as possible. And then I remember the first caffeine buzz, and I was like, oh, okay, all right, I get it. But I was like 30.
Lori, 30, really?
Wow.
Yeah, it was a late bloomer to coffee.
We would sit around. Okay, so this is how wild our thing was, but it was, we, you know, this is before any phones or anything, but we would sit around after dinner and have a cup of coffee and smoke a cigarette with our family.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
I remember
just hanging out and having a cup of coffee and smoking a cigarette. Of course I quit smoking when I was 17, but I was an early adapter in fifth grade with, you know, smoking at the furnaces, parliaments with my friend Liz. But
fifth grade smoking?
Well, we just were explorers, you know.
I guess.
It looks so cool.
It was the 70s, Rocco.
Smoking, 70s. We didn't do anything else, Rocco.
Yeah.
We didn't do anything.
Well, okay, so you think 50% is, that's like, I just thought it was like a duh, and I thought it would be higher.
Yeah, but I do know people that don't drink coffee, and okay. I'm just like, what do you drink? Milk.
Okay,
you know how I love to say that.
Milk.
Drink the milk.
Loving all the milk in my coffee.
Get the milk. I know Lori's coffee is half creamer and then a little splash of coffee on top. But I need my coffee.
I love white coffee, tea. It's half creamer.
Yeah, I found a new like non-dairy creamer, like a coconut cream. That's pretty good, a chocolate coconut creamer.
That into the studio.
No, it's too expensive, and you would use it twice, and it would be gone.
Okay.
No, because
all right. Well, let's
Go ahead.
Let's get to my next study because I did skim the journal Microbiome. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. B-I-O-M-E. It's all about microorganisms.
Biomes, yeah.
Yeah, those
biomes,
things.
Yeah, oh. Microbiomes, okay. That journal.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they still published that. I thought they were having a slow year.
No, Julia, very important to always know what's going on with bacteria and
absolutely.
Microorganisms.
Especially this year.
Especially, and this is research from Denmark, and it was published. So if you've ever heard of, you know, dirty bed sheets in your children's room and you think it's time to do the laundry, we shouldn't be in such a rush to change children's sheets.
Do they need the germs?
They need living in a little bit of dust and bacteria to reduce allergies, asthma, and stuff like that. Like, they just need a little bit of a dirty, like, you don't need to change their sheets maybe as often as you change your own.
All right. So maybe
twice a month, okay, or something.
All right.
And don't worry about it. They find the correlation that is the largest study they've ever done, where they found a correlation between the bacteria they find in bed dust and those we find in the children. And they're not the same, but they affect each other, and it reduces asthma and allergy risks in later years. But having a high diversity of microorganisms inside a family's home helps kids. And because beds are just such a central gathering place for bacteria and things like that.
Yeah.
If you're always cleaning that away in your kid's bedroom, you may be hurting and not helping their overall health. So
that's kind of, that's a good news thing for people.
Kind of.
Stay dirty.
Stay dirty, at least with the kids. Don't feel guilty about it.
Right.
Okay, now here is...
You just made a lot of people happy.
I think so.
Thank you, Microbiome Magazine.
Thank you, right. It's not a quarterly, is that an annual magazine?
This is a biannual,
okay,
Julia.
Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm. Very small print. my phone is right by my side as I'm looking up.
Because Lori doesn't really have a computer, so she has to read everything on her phone. I bet it's teeny print.
Okay, so here is a study. COVID restrictions leading most Americans to being more adventurous in...
the bedroom.
Wrong, Julia. Oh,
cooking.
The kitchen.
Hey.
Okay.
The kitchen. Listen to this. 3 out of 5 people are using this time to explore cooking new food. Of course, the millennials at 69% are leading the pack and trying baking and different cultures and ethnic food, blah, blah, blah. Then Gen X at 60%. And then, geez, all the other generations under Gen X are like only 28%, kind of lazy.
All right.
Italian is number one because pretty easy. But hey, let's make our own pizza. Or I know people who've bought, you know, making their own pasta. So Italian is number one, closely followed by Mexican, then quote unquote regional food, and then like Middle Eastern, Greek, that kind of thing.
Regional, is that like a tater tot hot dish or something?
I think so. That's what I say. Whatever regional is area.
Mm-hmm.
If I asked you what a Watergate salad, was that what we call it?
Yeah, she wouldn't know. She won't know.
Oh, I think it's something awful with walnuts, pears, and apples.
She does. It's pistachios. It's pistachio pudding, marshmallows, walnuts.
And maybe a fruit or something.
Marshmallow cherries.
Oh, that pineapple. Just sounds terrible.
They had that in the cafeteria today, and I devoured it. It was pretty good.
That is the
but
salad.
Why is it called the Watergate salad?
But that was, isn't that, remember a couple years ago before our very own personal salad gate, Lori, there was salad gate because they were saying there was this list of the top salads by state.
Yeah.
By state, and ours was the Watergate salad.
And everyone's like, what
was the genesis of that? And I felt like it was a restaurant in Stillwater.
I'm going to Google. I'm going to do a deep dive on that. Go ahead. Sorry
to interrupt
your study of
Donna. But Lori, I'm glad that you knew what was in it.
Well, I knew it had to be some just terrible concoction.
Actually, it was good. I had the lemon Oh, gosh, it was some delicious lemon zest and whipped cream thing today. I'm not making
you
guys.
Lemon pudding.
Yeah, I'm supposed to make you guys that ginger whipped cream. I'm just going to say a hard no.
Okay. Even with the minced ginger being so easy?
No, yeah, because I am. Target. No, because I'm researching hot toddies instead.
Oh, all right.
I was looking up some winter drinks the other day because, I feel like gin is such a summer drink.
Yeah.
I was like, I want a winter drink.
Oh, a winter gin. Did you look for the fizz? There's something I fizz? Didn't.
Everything I looked up was like way too fancy. It involved me making like a pear puree, you know.
Yeah, forget that.
No, I just want, yeah. So I'll stick with like whiskey and Coke.
Right. Anyways. Well, you can never go wrong with hot buttered rum.
Well, who's ever made that?
Well, I have.
Okay.
You heat up tea, you make tea, and then you put butterscotch schnapps in it.
But where's the rum?
And then you add a splash of rum, zap it in the microwave, and a little splash of whipped cream on top. Ta-da!
Okay, because shortcut, Lori, that's so funny because that's not the real recipe.
It's also eggnog season.
Eggnog is so good, but you know what I'm going to make is hot apple, like real apple cider with Southern Comfort.
Okay.
Nobody, I don't want to, you guys are cutting into my study of duh like it's random thought.
Well, the time,
you brought up regional foods.
Oh, what a dig. Look at the time.
Well, let's keep it going because we have, next segment, I see a big blank spot.
No,
on
we
our
have
grid.
So much to talk about, Lori. Okay. I can't wait for you to share another study.
Oh, no, I'm done. You only get dollops of duh. Just
dollops
like we get dollops of,
duh. Of
random thoughts.
That's what we should call the segment.
Dollops of duh. That is pretty funny, Lori. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Rocco, I'll do it.
Do it. Well, you are not eligible. But thanks for listening right now.
You're welcome. I love that when we listen to our show, I don't usually listen to people off of the show when I ask questions. I just fire them and I'm like, can we move on to the next one? Lori, what's happening there in your little second story?
I'll tell you what's happening. I just thought that this was so great. Remember, I think last week we talked about, I think it was a theory about how people just wish their bosses would just say thank you.
Yes.
A little, even just a thank you, because everyone is working two jobs or, just juggling so many things. So as a thank you, I love what Delta announced they were doing today, giving every single Delta employee 2 round trip confirmed tickets. So not having standby or whatever, to anywhere that Delta flies.
Wow.
As a thank you for what a hard year it's been.
That's lovely.
I know. And then Sun Country is doing something where you can nominate, they're giving $500, flight vouchers to people that you know that are working front lines or whatever. Because you could buy a lot with $500 Sun Country voucher because airfares are so low everywhere.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of a great news. Two great news story today.
I think they are. All right, so here's a story that I'm surprised you haven't brought up yet, Lori.
Well, it doesn't mean I don't have notes on it.
Okay. Well, here are some of... the shark, Greg Norman, was walking his dog. He's 65 years old, and if you remember, he was neighbors with Chrissy Evert. And Chrissy Evert and her husband and Greg Norman and his wife were couple friends until what happened? Chrissy Evert and Greg Norman had an affair. And then they ended up getting married. And then they ended up getting a divorce like 6 months later.
Yeah,
so he is advertising. I mean, he's ripped. He posted on Instagram a photos of himself walking his dog on the beach, capturing without his shirt on, capturing it. We're talking about Greg Norman, the golfer, man and his dog on a Sunday.
Well, he's looking for love. He's looking for women to slide into his DMs, if not his board shorts.
Okay. Well, some cheeky comments ensued from that. Someone said, careful, your dog thinks you're hiding a stick. He might have had wood. And another one, red shark, dog, and python. And then another one, great white shaft. Anywho, he's in a partnership with this Novavax biotech, and it's something that burns fat or something, but it's kind of funny. I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, it's two purposes. He's getting paid for it. Yep. He's giving us 69-year-old goals or whatever the hell
65.
He is.
65. Not even 69.
Okay, 65, and he's probably getting some very nice photos in his DMs right now, and has a variety of dates lined up.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right. So, is anyone doing anything fabulous?
Who needs Tinder when you can do that?
Well, when you're Greg Norman,
right?
Yeah, when you're Greg Norman, is anyone doing anything fabulous tonight? It's Tuesday, after all. Besides watching The Bachelorette, they're going to play Truth or Dare tonight, Lori. It's going to be a big night.
Oh, yeah. I love it when those boys bitch and fight. I just live for it.
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
It really is.
Because they're so whiny. All right, here's a question for you guys. It's a geography question. We're going to do a little test here. Rocco, which Great Lakes is the only one 100% in the U.S., like Michigan, like Huron, Lake Erie, or Lake Superior? Lori, answer.
I think I know.
All right. Lori, answer.
I think it's Lake Superior.
Okay. Rocco?
I think it's Lake Erie.
It's Lake Michigan. You both were wrong.
Oh, right.
Things that make you go, That's a good little
what
quiz.
What are we? What are we, Great Lakes?
You're not experts. You're not fifth graders. You're not smarter than a fifth grader on that one.
Well, I knew Lake Erie was like, you know, Cleveland's on Lake Erie. I figured Ohio was so south.
But Canada goes down there.
Does it? Okay.
That's what I've heard. Canada goes down
there.
By Cleveland. Hello, Cleveland. Canada.
And some people do say that. That's a euphemism.
I know.
Oh, I went downtown to Cleveland last night.
Hello, Cleveland. Who was the comic that did that?
I don't know, but somebody had Cleveland as a
Hello,
euphemism.
Cleveland is from Spinal Tap.
Is that? Yeah. Okay. Oh, my gosh. All
right. No one used it as a euphemism?
I'll look that up.
It was just my circle of friends.
Lori, you used everything as a euphemism in your circle of friends. Not everybody runs as raunchy as you. Not everyone.
Julia, I disagree. I think that people are way raunchier than, if you are inclined that way, there are shy people who would never dream, but I think people do get a kick out of being raunchy.
Yeah, I would. Well, some more than others.
Or at least kind of listening in on raunchy.
Right. Okay. Have you put up your Christmas lights yet?
No.
Are you going to do it this weekend?
Yeah, my wife wants to get a tree this weekend, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to make people happy, so put them up because it makes everyone happy to see the bright lights. Don't do it for yourself, do it for your neighbors.
Right, I know. Casey said he's just going to buy a tree to decorate and put in our backyard.
I think it's a great idea. It makes people happy.
I know, and the birds will like it because I can put my old bread out on the branches and it like becomes a bird feeder without the hassle.
And then we're just going to put a bench next to it and sing, feed the birds, feed the birds, possums, possums. All right, is anyone have some extra money? The big Kmart K is up for bids. If anyone needs
a pass, take a hard pass.
If anyone needs a 9-foot red letter K, you have till December 1st. It's being sold.
Hurrah.
All right here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota.
It's the Lake Street one, right?
It is. Mm-hmm. Have a great night, guys. Thanks, Rocco. Lori, I'll see you in person tomorrow. All right. Night, everyone.
Job done. Off you go.